This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The guy accused of killing five people in Texas in a most heinous crime that included the point-blank shooting and ultimately the death of a nine-year-old boy found hiding in a closet he was. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope your week has been off to a good start. It is a good day for law enforcement there because he had eluded the suspect in this massacre, had eluded them since Friday night. There was tips all over the place, and finally one of the tips paid off at a place called Cut and Shoot. He was found hiding beneath in a closet some laundry. The suspect, Francisco Oropesa, found in a house just miles from the home that he had in Cleveland, Texas, and the home next door where the killings took place. He's a Mexican national. Greg Capers, the sheriff, told reporters during a Tuesday night press conference that they made the arrest, and he's uninjured, and he's taken into a facility, and he's being processed. That's the way that should have ended, because I thought, boy, does this become a shootout, or does he kill himself, or who knows what, because he needs to answer for this crime. He's being held on five counts of murder with bond set at $5 million. It was all about just shooting his rifle near a neighboring home, asked if he could just move to the other side of the property, didn't do it, instead went over and decided to open fire on the neighbors, killing five of them, injuring some others, and then running away. And then it led to this manhunt that's been going on since Friday night. So it is about being formally charged of what these circumstances are. The Mexican consulate would be notified on Wednesday, and he appears before a magistrate in San Jacinto County on Wednesday too, as well. They have 90 days to indict him. I think they're not going to have a problem with this. And, you know, it was 250 different kinds of law enforcement officers that were looking for him. $80,000 in reward money was put up. And we don't know how long he's been in the U.S. since his last deportation. We know the worst is that that he killed all those people, including the nine-year-old. And, by the way, everybody was 31 or younger. Most of them were in their early 20s. So the whole thing was shocking, not, of course, what they expected. It's been an outpouring of grief in that community, you know, when people don't know what to do and they put holy candles and stuffed animals and write notes, and it's all over the outside of that house. I mean, I don't know that I've seen that kind of a shrine set up. Of course, we've seen it that's popped up, but not to this level, because people are so sad about the story, sad to hear what happened. And of all things, you know, the family next door, the husband was the one who went over, and the neighbor had helped him cut down a tree, had talked a lot to the wife, and then he shot her point blank and shot the son right in front of everybody's face. And of course, now he's left a widower and the two young children, which you've got one that's like 2 years old, another one that's practically newborn, are left without a mother. Just the grief that one must feel is, I think, something that none of us would ever want to discover, and I cannot imagine what that would feel like. I just cannot imagine. This is a big deal. Title 42, because it's expiring, it's done, it's over. The Biden administration sent 1,500 troops to the southern border for support roles because there's expected to be a big surge of people trying to come in. Title 42, I think you know what it is. That's the public health authority. It expires next week, meaning because of COVID that was put in place and people were processed different. The U.S. military has done this before with the Department of Homeland Security on the border when they suspect a surge. They don't deal with what the day-to-day is, but they help in these support roles that will free up more U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents so that they can be out there in the field. And that's a good thing because it relieves some of that tension where there's just not enough people. So they'll do data entry and warehouse support and all of that. And for 90 days, they're going to fill in those gaps. And you had a lot of different reaction to this, including Democratic Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey, who said the decision to deploy the troops was unacceptable. He said the Biden administration's militarization of the border is unacceptable. There's already a humanitarian crisis in the Western Hemisphere. Deploying military only signals that migrants are a threat that require our nation's troops to contain. Nothing could be further from the truth. But, Bob, the problem is you cannot contain the massive amount of people and that flow, and we've seen what that leads to. That had to happen, right? Listen, I've been on that border. I have said this before. I spent a week with the Border Patrol, and I was never more shocked at what I saw than when I was with them day in and day out. And now you can multiply that. You know, there's been about 7,000 daily encounters on the U.S. southern border in the last couple of days, and they expect a rise in that. So what is the pushback there? You know, there has to be something. There has to be somebody there that can help do some of those other roles so you can watch for the surge. And it's going to happen next week, once this comes out. Once 42 is lifted, there's no question about it. I'd be shocked. We are overprepared. Nothing is happening new and different at the border. It is all clear and under control. I would just be shocked if you didn't see massive humanity, right? The border is not open. We do not have a, quote, open border. But tell that to the people that are coming across and then have to go through the system and have to be fed it out in different directions. But we already know what's going on there. We've talked about this ad nauseum on this show from day one in over 15 plus years. We've talked about this. And we come back to the same themes. I could go back into the archives from 10 years ago. I could pick out conversation about the border, and it would be very, very similar. Very, 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 very similar to what's being said now. The tweak is the law. Is Title 42 expiring? That is what the big difference is. We've been talking about debt ceiling for far too long. I mean, look, is there going to be a vote on it? Of course there will be. Will the president veto what he doesn't like because of the policies that are attached to it? Yeah, I can't imagine it doesn't happen. So will there be a compromise next week when you have a mix of Senate Democrats and Republicans who meet with Joe Biden? Hopefully they come up with something to end the gridlock. Because if not, then everybody else is going to pay who's relying on government checks of some sort, especially because we got to pay the bills, right? So if we don't pay the bills, what happens? Doom and gloom is predicted, and we have heard this song and dance before, that's for sure. Borrowing costs are going to go up, up, up. I know that. No doubt about it. We're headed to the man cave next.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
I'll tell you what, in the West is the Lakers and the Warriors, and this first one did not disappoint. LeBron James, he had the step-back jumper to beat the halftime buzzer. Sweet! The alley-oop slam that shut down the Warrior crowd. And it was a back-and-forth affair, especially in the fourth. The Warriors at one point were so far behind, and then they tied the Lakers, going on a 14-zip run. In the end, it was Los Angeles, 117-112, the final score. The NBA playoffs, I'm telling you, if you like any kind of hoop at all, but you really think, oh, I hate... I've heard this from people. Oh, it's just a bunch of millionaires running up and down the court. Well, tune in during the playoffs, because that's when you see some of the best shot-making that I think you see all year, seriously. The level is just pumped up a different notch. The Knicks were happy to tie their series with the Heat, 111-105. Big, big night for them in front of the home crowd. Trust me, as somebody who worked in New York, I heard so many whiny Knicks fans that would call up, yo, when are the Knicks going to get the right people on this team and do something about their front court? Well, they've done something, and Julius Randle is part of the success. 24 points, the 10 handy boards, handful of assists, and it was enough to help push the Knicks to that win. So that's where they're at in their series in the East, tied at 1. And then, of course, on Wednesday, the 76ers coming off of that great performance by Fear the Beard, Harden. They are taking on the Celts in Boston at TD Garden. Boston is favored by 10 in this. I was looking at the betting lines just out of curiosity. So 10, how about that? I think this has a chance to go the distance. Who knows? The East and the West I think are rather interesting anyway, the way this is all wound up. All right, a little of this, a little of that when it comes to what's going on in the NFL. There's always debates about what's the most watched telecast of all time of the Super Bowl. In fact, in my book, The Man Cave, I have a whole chapter about the Super Bowl, how many pizzas are sold and how much avocado dip is made. And that, of course, is not scientific as far as the avocado. Other things that's easier to prove. But the Chiefs, 38-35 win over the Eagles on February 12th, drew an average of 115.1 million viewers across all platforms, nearly 2 million more than what the Nielsen announcement was. So it officially is the most watched U.S.-based telecast of all time, that Super Bowl. The updated numbers change things, because the previous record was when the Patriots beat the Seahawks, and then after that, this is so wild. Remember the Patriots and the Falcons? Oh, if I was a Falcon fan, you're feeling it's like, oh, we're in the money here, and then of course they weren't. That was the big Tom Brady comeback. So there you go, KC and Philly. They changed and revised the figures because of other ways to measure. And, you know, there are so many people that stream the game on, for example, all the Fox digital properties or NFL Plus. I'm not surprised, you know, because when you have a close Super Bowl, even if it's not your team, you're at a party, you're an NFL fan, you're not going to not watch the biggest game. And you're going to get more eyeballs there. And if it's close and it's not a flat-out blowout, then you absolutely are probably going to get bigger numbers. So, of course, those bigger numbers happened. The Packers aren't making much news lately because Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, and that was one of the big questions. But the Packers did reach a one-year extension with quarterback Jordan Love. So he'll have more than just 1 year to prove he's the guy, the quarterback of the future. So they didn't give him the fifth-year option on his rookie deal, which would have paid him a guaranteed $20 million-plus for 2024 after making not quite $2.5 million in 2023. So instead they get this one-year contract extension. It's worth $22.5 million. How much of that is guaranteed? $13.5 million. That's significant when you ask about guarantees and whatnot because of injuries. So if I'm negotiating the contract, I'm trying to get my guy everything I can get them. And you know how frail that can be, and especially if a quarterback struggles. And then if they have injuries, and what does that mean? So this is pretty big money for a guy who hasn't really played, and they are putting the faith in him, saying they're moving forward with him, and they're going to let the chips fall where they may fall. And a lot of teams get put in these positions where they have a young quarterback, and then they don't pick up the option, and they let the quarterback play out the final season of the rookie deal, and then what do they sign them for afterwards? But Jones actually had 37 games of starting experience over his first, like in the case of Daniel Jones, so he would be an example, because he was a first-round pick in 2019, so he did have a lot of playing time, because the Giants would be a good comparison to the Packers situation. They had the same, you know, the Packers had the same situation the Giants had back in 2019, and they didn't pick up the option, and they let him do what he was going to do in the rookie season, and then they ended up signing him. And Love has just one career start, 13-7 loss at Kansas City in the 2021 season opener, and played meaningful snaps in only one game last season in the Packers' late November loss at Philadelphia. But, you know, that's it. I mean, at least as the quarterback, you have the confidence that, okay, this is, for now, this is my team, so I need to do what I can to lead and focus on what I have to do here, and not who was here before me and any of that. Just focus on what has to happen for this to be my reality as I continue to move on in this role. It's tough when you fill legendary shoes of any sort. And essentially, no matter what you think of Aaron Rodgers, definitely the records that he set, etc., you are filling pretty big shoes without a doubt. I looked at the scores in Major League Baseball from this evening, and I was stunned. I saw just a little bit here and there of a couple of the games. So the Rays continue to roll the way that they are. They're 24-6. They're 15-2 at home. They beat the Pirates 4-1. The Philadelphia loss, wow. The Dodgers, and this was in L.A., so you can bet people were down on the Dodger dogs and loving this. The Dodgers beat up on the Phillies 13-1. Bryce Harper was back, the superstar for the Phillies and one of the superstars in Major League Baseball. 0-for-4, three strikeouts. Yeah. So they had the Phillies number. Nobody was getting anything past Urias at all. And that he was a big difference maker there. It was 10 innings, but the Reds on the road beat the Padres 2-1. So they're 4-11 away. But the Padres had a pretty big crowd there, 16-5, 8-9 at home. The A's, who are now going to eventually be a team that ends up playing in Las Vegas, didn't pull up with the win in front of their home folks. The Mariners beat them in a low-scoring game, 2-1. So the A's are 6-24 on the season, 3-13 at home. That doesn't make you want to go, oh, they're so good this year. They're so good this year. Not. Gotta go see them. The Texas Rangers are pretty good. They beat the Diamondbacks 6-4, and they're now 12-5 at home. That gives you a good, confident feeling when you're coughing up the coin to go and see them. The Angels knocked off the Cardinals 5-1. Taylor Ward capping a four-run first inning with a three-run homer. Makes a difference, right? Makes a huge difference. That's baseball. You get some of these low-scoring games, pitcher's duels, and then a complete, utterly shock when you have these blowouts because the run support is there besides the great pitching. Like the Braves, they blanked the Marlins 6-0. Bryce Elder outpitched the Cy Young Award winner. Mm-hmm. He was good. He was throwing fire. Hang with us.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Yeah. USA News Update. House and Senate leaders are going to meet with President Biden next week to discuss the debt limit. The U.S. could default as soon as June 1st if the debt ceiling's not raised.
It is Congress's constitutional obligation to act.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said President Biden wants a clean bill to raise the debt limit and won't negotiate. But House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said the debt limit will not be raised without spending cuts. More troops are being sent to the southern border ahead of the expiration of Title 42 next week. The Biden administration is sending 1,500 active duty troops in anticipation of an influx of illegal immigrants. Former President Trump says he may skip at least one of the first few Republican presidential primary debates. Trump is either skipping the first debate in August in Milwaukee or the second at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California. Last week he bragged he was skipping debates because of his lead in the polls. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Wow, this book is what I call one of those books where you need a shot of inspiration or you're even feeling melancholy and you don't know what it is, but you want to put the words to it. I know I've had feelings like this, and I know many of you have, whether you're a woman or whether you're a man listening to this show. So I'm pleased to take you to the UK on this edition of Author's Corner to have a conversation with Serena and Selena Raja, who have put together what I think is, again, that kind of a book of poetry. It's called Women of Wounds, and they have such an interesting story. Imagine twins. They are a twin, twin sisters, and wait till you hear how this all unfolded for them. Selena and Serena, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
So let's start with, how did this come about? How did you discover that both of you were into writing poetry?
So I've been writing poetry since I was 12 years old. A lot of it was inspired by the wars in Syria and in countries that were experiencing wars at that time. And then Celia was writing when she was 16, wasn't it?
15.
And Celia had written a poem, which she was very, very proud of. And she had showed me, and I was amazed. And I said, I write poetry too. I've just kind of kept it private. It wasn't something that I would share, just writing it for myself. And then we were just amazed how we could write poetry. And then I've been writing novels on the side, and I always wanted to have some of my work published and become a published author. And then Tina had this amazing idea, why don't we just put both of our poems into one book and publish a book together? And I thought, that's amazing. It's something that I thought would happen in my late 20s, my early 30s, but for our 21st birthday party, Tina gave me an awesome gift. She got a confirmation for a book deal. So that's how one would happen.
How it began.
Wow, how exciting. And you really tackle a lot of different things. And Serena, you mentioned it there. You talk about the wars in Syria. Explain how you think the impact of those wars are on the world, on people, and just the way the media covers it.
So in terms of how the media covers it, I personally think that a lot of the wars happening in Syria, Palestine, and other countries, they are not addressed enough in the media. They're kind of just sugarcoated or like kind of brushed under the carpet. I'd say like less than 50% of what really is happening is being discussed. A lot of it's been ignored, and that's why the wars are continuing. You know, I don't think many people are discussing it enough. So that's kind of what inspired me to write. I thought, you know, I can write. It's some talent that I think I have, and I'm going to use my talents to kind of just raise awareness and try to get these people the help that I think they could get if they're getting enough attention, and if I'm really showing it as it is, like really showing the harsh reality that civilians are facing.
Yeah, I like that. And Selena, something that you talk about is, oh gosh, so many people walk around with this and just can't discuss it. They have no way to find an outlet. You talk about dealing with what I call mental disease or mental illness, which, again, is so, so prevalent. Talk about that for our listeners.
Yeah, so as we grew up, my sister and I, we obviously came across obstacles ourselves, and we noticed a lot of suffering around us. With time, as we grew up, the whole issue of mental illness, you know, there wasn't enough awareness again. This book is really about awareness. There wasn't enough awareness. There wasn't enough. There was too much stigma around it, too much taboo, and we thought, obviously, we struggled ourselves, and we know so many other people that are doing it, but they're suffering in silence. Maybe if we wrote this book, and if I shared some of my intimate experiences and things like that, it would make a big impact on someone. And it has. I know a lot of people have benefited from this book, and I know a couple of people who've actually got help from reading our book and things. I think everyone can relate to it, and it's really good.
I think as well, like with a lot of young people especially, I think everyone goes through a phase where they're a bit self-conscious, they're not too happy with their appearance, and they do things that they think would improve their appearance, make them happy within themselves. And I think when we're in secondary school, especially in like year 9 and year 10, we've seen a lot of our old friends, other people in our classes, very, very unhappy with their appearances. There was a lot of them encouraging their friends to take skinny pills, and they're taking skinny pills, and some of them had anorexia. They weren't talking about it, but it was very obvious when, like, they refused to eat, they wouldn't go out, you know, they just lost a dramatic amount of weight in such a short time. And I think seeing that really, really impacted us as well. Mm-hmm. We really thought that, you know, these things are real and they're not being discussed. Like, geez, that person's obviously suffering. Why have they not told anyone? It's obvious. And I just think there could have been a lot more help available in our school as well.
Like, they covered, like, it was like everyone would wear a mask and they were kind of covering.
Yeah.
Like, everything that they post on Instagram and things like that, it's always the happy side. No one showed the really the deep and dark things that come with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. And, you know, along those same lines, Serena, it's interesting. I asked you when we were having a discussion off the air, what was your favorite poem that that you wrote? Tell us about that.
So my the one that I wrote, or Serena wrote, sorry.
Serena.
So, the favorite poem of mine that I wrote would probably be Your Loss, and it's about the death of the biggest pillar in our family, my mum's uncle. I wrote that poem 1.5 years after he died, and I remember giving it to my friend to read before the book was published, and she said you could tell the wound was so fresh when you had written it, and I was like, no, I wrote this 1.5 years after his death. And I think why it's so special is not only is it discussing the smile of my uncle and just kind of painting him as the way he was, like a happy man, a man who always teased, but it's also something everyone can relate to. You know, I wanted to specifically address my uncle in that poem, but I thought if I address him, it's kind of limiting to who someone can relate this to. So I left it open because I think everyone grieves, you know, you'll grieve, you'll lose someone. That's just life. And I think everyone could relate to it. And I think a lot of people who had read it as well, family and friends, they read it and they were also saying that this is one of my favorite poems from you. It's just so relatable. And that's definitely my favorite one.
Yeah. Tell me about Fake Friends.
Fake Friends is a very popular poem from our book. Fake Friends is
about fake friends. It's something, you know, people in your life come and go, and it's a poem that's not necessarily from our experiences. Of course, it's from our experience, this whole book is, but there is also something everyone can relate to. Everyone's had that one person they thought they'd be with forever, and then, you know, tables turn and things have changed. The reason I was very indecisive whether or not to publish this poem, but when I gave my friends, some of my really good friends, this poem, they're like, you need to publish it so many people can relate to it. And it's amazing the amount of feedback we've got from it.
Yeah,
like,
it's
a lot of people have said that, you know, I felt so bad, I lost this friend, but now I realize I don't need them, and, you know, I've become closer to my family. It's really good to see the impact it's had.
I like that. And then, kind of as what I think is a really funny poem in a way, and I guess it's because of the title of it, and Americans can relate to this, but anybody around the world can, frankly, with their reach. Who doesn't like ice cream? You have one called Ben and Jerry's. Tell us about Ben and Jerry.
Ben and Jerry, well, my sister and I are like big Ben and Jerry's fans. That poem itself is about sisterhood. It's about falling out of a relationship and trying to slowly build it back. Anybody can relate to it, whether it's your friend, whether it's your sister, your twin. It's just about, you know, rebuilding that friendship. And Ben and Jerry are obviously like best friends, and that's how I what I think of me and Serena with Ben and Jerry.
I think as well as watching a family member of yours kind of just suffer, and then, like you said, just kind of going apart, and then just kind of reconnecting again and putting this to her back. Also being grateful for what you've had.
Yeah, grateful for what you've had. Okay, and again, we're speaking with Selena and Serena Raja, and you can get the book Women of Wounds on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. So easy for everybody listening in this audience. Like I said, it's the book where you can pick it up and read the whole thing through and then find other meanings, because that's what happens, I think, with poetry. So, Serena, was it hard to pick out the poems that you were going to put in this?
Definitely, yeah, it was hard to pick out poems. And I think a lot of the poems as well, I was adding things, taking them away, so that made it even harder, because some of them about years ago, and I was reading back, like, oh, that's a bit cringe, or maybe that's like, needs to be discussed a bit more. I know with the Living Nightmare poem I wrote about the wars, I added so much into that poem. Yeah, like, I added so much about Omar and Dagnish that wasn't in there first. But it was definitely hard.
I think it was harder for Sina because she had so many.
Yeah, I had so many poems. I think I have about 20 more that I didn't put in the book, and I was so indecisive which one I want to put in the book. And there was one poem, it was too long, so I made that one poem three separate poems, named them different things. But even now when I'm reading through my old poems, I'm like, I wish I put this one in there. And we have one that's not in the book, me and Serena, and it has the same title, and we're kind of arguing, no, you can't put yours in the book if I can't put mine in. So now we both kind of regret it.
How fun. How's the reaction been with your friends to, wow, you have this out there in the world? You know, a lot of people talk about sharing their words, sharing poetry, which is personal, and they just never get around to it. You two at such a young age have done that. What was it like to share it with the people close to you?
It was definitely nerve-wracking.
It was nerve-wracking. It's a mix of every emotion, I think a lot of them had a lot of pride in us. They kind of knew that we wanted to do this thing when we were young, and they just knew we would do something with our lives, you know. And it was definitely nerve-wracking to let them read the poems, because some of them were really, really raw. And I think every poem, someone's like, was that about you? But it was just kind of us explaining, it's not just about us. A lot of poems are also about the things that we've seen and other people's experiences. The people who we mentioned in the acknowledgements, we wrote obviously about them because they were so supportive and had so much pride in us. But after we published this book, their pride for us expanded.
Yeah.
And it was really good to see that how supportive they were and how proud. And it even opened up their minds to issues of mental illness and things. I know it's not very discussed much in my family amongst ethnic minorities in general. So it's good to see that it's actually not necessarily raising awareness public, but also people in our household who really needed it. We had a lot of a good support system around us, and I think they really helped us kind of make our dreams come true. And with my parents, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. They were just so supportive. They had so much faith in us, and they helped us get to where we are today. So I think in terms of them, it was just exciting to show them that, look, your help got us where we are today. But I think other family members, it was a little nerve-wracking because we didn't even tell them we were doing this. It was just a big surprise.
They just come out one day and they were like, did you guys really write this? Kept it quiet.
Wow. Well, they should be proud of you, and I think your words have absolute meaning and resonate, especially in the world today. Selena and Serena, thank you so much.
guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Is Rise Above, Use a Military Mindset for Success in Any Field. We have General H. Brent Baker Sr. with us. He's written this book, and I'll tell you what, it's a game changer. If you read this book, I think you're going to find some incredible leadership and some amazing takeaways for sure, and some motivation, absolutely. All right, thank you so much for coming on, General Baker. We appreciate it.
Kate, thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be with you today.
What led you to writing the book after a lifetime of really leadership and incredible experiences? What was it that made you say, I'm going to do this?
Well, for my whole life and career, I consider myself a student of leadership. And after serving in the military for 37 years, so I started out, you know, spent 6 years enlisted, 31 years as an officer, rising to the rank of general officer. I really thought I had something to share on leadership. And, you know, it's an interesting, I think, perspective. You know, I tried to make the book really reflective where people think about their leadership style. But the main reason I really was inspired to write it is I just really want to help other leaders that are out there. They either want to become leaders or become better leaders, and that was really my inspiration.
So for you to get to the position that you were, what was it like in your military career? Take us back to that.
Well, it was really a wonderful journey. You know, I started out, as I mentioned, I spent 6 years as an enlisted person, which I really cherished that time. And I just, I come from a military family. Most of my family has served. So I was really inspired to serve my country. And I said, well, you know, if I'm going to stay in the military, I'm going to try to become an officer. And I did that. And then just blessed to be able to become a general officer, which is fairly rare, I believe. The term when you go from enlisted to an officer is called a Mustang. And then to go from, you know, a officer to a general officer, it's fairly rare. So, and then I was also a seven-time commander. I led really like large units, small units. So I think I have a really unique perspective on leadership. But the way I crafted the book, I tried to write it, just like you said in the title, where you can take the best of a military mindset and try to be able to use that in any leadership endeavor.
Yeah, and that's what's so prevalent in this book. And again, the full title, it Orders from the General, Leadership Advice from a Two-Star General, Rise Above, Use a Military Mindset for Success in Any Field. So you have leadership tips. Give us an example of some of those.
Well, I think one leadership tip I like to use, and there's 50 actually leadership tips in the book, but, you know, one is about the importance of communication. I think one of the hardest things we do as humans, and definitely as leaders, is being able to communicate properly and communicate our message. And so I really do talk a lot about in the book about the importance of communication. Another great tip is the power of leading by example. And I really try to kind of weave that throughout the book too, that we're always being observed, and people really will look and see what you're doing. And probably even more than what you say, they really look and observe at what you do. So those are just some of the, you know, three of the 50 tips I've kind of tried to weave throughout the book.
Yeah, and you have such a unique perspective. For you in that position, take us back to your actual service days, and what was that like? What was it like where you were and what you had to do?
Well, I think what's really unique about the military and is really wonderful for people is you're really kind of thrust into leadership roles very early. And that's going to be a little bit different than the private sector where you spend a lot of time working your way to leadership position. In the military, like as a brand new lieutenant, I had 100 person. I was in charge of the presidential fuel flight at Andrews Air Force Base. So very large job, a lot of people working for me, a lot large responsibility, and, you know, I'm like 24 years old. Mm. And so I think that's a unique perspective in the military, is you're thrown into a thrust into leadership position early and often with a lot of responsibility, a lot of people. And it could be managing under very difficult circumstances as well. And that's why I think when people read the book, I mean, they'll see the military flavor throughout, but I've really tried to craft it in such a way that it's more reflective than prescriptive in nature, so people can ask themselves, well, how would I lead in this situation, or what is my leadership style? But I do use a lot of the military mindset to kind of draw that out.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Mustang, and you describe what it is, a Mustang rising to the ranks of a general officer is so rare. You mentioned it's like probably less than 1%, and then serving as a commander seven times and giving us that description of being 24 years old, and you've traveled around the world, and certainly you've led small organizations and big organizations, and you've worked in the private sector. What is the biggest difference between the private sector and the military, and how you're trying to combine that, and what somebody can learn in the private sector from the military?
Well, it's so interesting, because when you're in the military, you kind of hear like little horror stories about working in the private sector and how cutthroat it can be, and you know, the almighty dollar drives everything. But I will tell you, that has not been really my experience. And what I've discovered is that the private sector is very similar to the military in such a way that, you know, there's a lot, you know, high standards. They're very ethical because, you know, they don't want to impact their bottom line. Now, it is true in the private sector, you're driven by more of the bottom line, being able to make a profit, things like that. The military is more about readiness, but I think a lot of the leadership values that you learn in the military, again, being a student of leadership, they're very applicable in the civilian role, and I've kind of learned that. So to me, there are some differences, like maybe what motivates people is a little bit different, and you know, how people look at the bottom line. Again, the military is more about readiness, and civilian companies is, you know, more making profit. But I think a lot of the leadership examples that I use in the book, really they're applicable in both spaces.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and you talk about what is different about your book, and you just gave us some examples of that, and what a reference book this can be. And I think one of the things that we see happening, and you know this, Brent, is that we live in such a crazy, especially with technology and what's happened in the world, we live in such an incredibly fast-paced, changing world. So we really need strong leaders in organizations, don't we?
I think we do. I think leadership is needed now more than ever.
Yeah.
And I actually think in some ways we have a lack of leadership throughout, I'll just say, the world, throughout our country. And I think, you know, technology has caused some of that, although, you know, technology should actually help make you a better leader. But I think, you know, a great example I like to talk about is, you know, leaders have to make decisions. Well, in today's world, especially with like email and Snapchat and all the, you know, Facebook, and to me, it's just easy to kind of pass decisions along to somebody else. But to me, you can't do that. As a leader, you have to take charge. You have to make decisions. You have to communicate effectively. So, but I do agree. I think your premise is spot on. We need leaders now more than ever, and that was part of the inspiration of why I wrote the book. It doesn't show you everything you ever need to go about leadership, but I really did try to come up with the leadership principles and advice that I think are timeless, and these leadership principles that I call out of the book, I think will hopefully stand the test of time.
Yeah, and I think they absolutely do, and I think you've really told us, but I'll throw this out anyway, just in case there's something you want to add to that. What do you hope the takeaways are for the readers who read the book and they're learning from it?
Well, I think a couple of, you know, takeaways that if you're really interested in being a leader, it's a lifelong journey. And I said earlier, I kind of consider myself a student of leadership, and I hope people will read the book and become students of leadership and read not just my book but other books, and also look around for leadership examples. You know, I like to tell folks that, you know, we're all leaders in some way, whether you're either being a good leader or a bad leader or whether you realize that, but people are always looking to you as a leader. And so I hope when people read the book, they're inspired, like I mentioned earlier, like to reflect on what they do in leadership, how they can become better leaders. And I really hope they aspire to be lifelong leaders and continue their education and, you know, read and do as much as they can to really help themselves and set themselves up for success.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. And the book, again, is called Orders from the General, Leadership Advice from a Two-Star General, Rise Above, Use a Military Mindset for Success in Any Field, General H. Brent Baker, Sr. Thank you so much for coming on. You can get this book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was great talking with you this morning.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.